quite a few away, but at least today I'm not one who is away. This is one of my days to be here. And I really am sorry that I have had to be gone during four of the classes that we've been studying this material. But from what I know about Donald and the exposure he had and then the reports I've gotten, I'm very happy with the job that he has done. I know he has tried hard. I know he has worked very hard to do the job. So what I want to do, since I haven't been here, I want us to go back over, and I don't mean for weeks now, but today I'd like to spend the day sort of pulling things together and I guess checking it out, and before we move into the next segment of this. So remember, don't get discouraged. I really want to be sure you don't get discouraged when you are trying to learn some of this and you say, I hadn't heard about that. I don't know about that. I don't know if I can absorb all of this at once. Remember that the point is that it doesn't matter that much if you don't absorb it all at once, because we're going to go over it again. And I think I have. Let me see. Yeah, it's on. But it may be that the battery is. Okay. So, but it is on. So maybe he can get it. Are you able to hear it? No, you're not able to hear it either. Okay. Well, Steve is going to try to check that out. And otherwise, I don't know a thing about it. So, all I know to do is to keep on talking and hope that it'll click in eventually, okay? All right. So, but I do want you to remember that we will be going over this third cycle that we're going to be going into next. We'll go right back over it. We're right back over what you have studied, so that we'll keep reinforcing that. And then when this quarter is over, then we're going to go into a detailed study of this beginning in Genesis, and we will work our way through. So the whole benefit of this is that there are multiple exposures to it over and over, always building on and incorporating the former things that we've studied. So, you know, so many times in the study of the Bible in years gone by, you will study a little bit here, and then you won't study that again for years. And then maybe years later, you'll study something else, and it's never put together, and it's never reinforced systematically. But we are going to be reinforcing it systematically, and so you'll be able to learn it and understand it then. So before we get started in that third cycle, I would like for us to go back over that first one. So let me ask you this. Do you feel like you have any problem at all naming the 17 periods of Bible history? I'm not asking you to do it. And if you were to say, well, I don't have any problem with it, I'm not going to say, well, stand up and say it. All I'm wanting to know is if you feel like you would feel comfortable, that you do feel comfortable with knowing those. Most of you feel like you'd feel comfortable with that? Well, see, the point is, at first, you wouldn't have felt comfortable saying, yeah, I think I can do that. But we've kept on going back over that until now. That's gotten to be elementary stuff. You know, you went over that enough by now that's elementary stuff. And the thing about learning and knowledge is that as you keep advancing, building on what you learned formerly, then it keeps on, what becomes elementary keeps growing. Do you get my point there? So that what you might have had a little trouble learning eventually becomes elementary, see, because you've been over it. So that's what will happen here. All right, so let's do this kind of fast now. All right, in the first period of the Bible before the flood, let's name the events that go in that period. All right, I heard all of that. I heard it all get in there. So we got five chapters, and we have five things that we named there. All right, then in the flood, just the story of the flood, but what are the things that go in? How do we divide that story up? The warning and preparation for the flood, and then the beginning of the flood, the end of the flood, events immediately after the flood, and the generations. So the generations, by the way, are in chapters 5 and 10. Very good. That's right. Then in chapter 11, we have the third story, which is a period in itself because it is considerably after the flood. What is that one? Scattering of the people, which occurred, of course, at the Tower of Babel. And then the next period is called what? This is the fourth period, the patriarch. What did I do? Oh. Naming what now? Oh, okay. Okay. In other words, like the first five things. Okay, I'm just. Okay, okay. So she's wanting me to put you to the test. Okay, I'm letting them off too easily. Okay, well, all right. All right, in the patriarchs, tell me who are the patriarchs? And then the linking story of Joseph. Okay, that's good. See, I'm pretty sure you knew that. All right, let's go on into the next period, which is what? The Exodus. All right. Now then, let's start naming the events in the period of the Exodus. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Is that all? All right. Then God sends him back and the plagues, crossing of the Red Sea, the trip to Sinai, the events at Mount Sinai. By the way, what are the four events, the four primary events at Mount Sinai? All right, there's the law given. All right, but the four primary events, remember, it starts out with God makes a covenant. He gives them the law. They build the tabernacle. And then God gives them the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. And there are other things like that, that one that you mentioned there. But those four things, that's what you build everything around. And so the covenant and the law and the tabernacle and the Aaronic priesthood. Now, after they've been there at Mount Sinai a while, then what goes next? All right. Well, is it the wandering? That's the next period. But before we're through with the Exodus, what happens after Mount Sinai? All right, the trip to Kadesh Barnea. That's right, and the story of the spies. Okay. All right. So then that leads us into the next period, which is what? The wandering in the wilderness. Now, did you find that this period of the wandering in the wilderness was a little bit more scattered? A little bit more scattered out. The stories are a little bit more scattered out when you look in the law. So let's remember now, okay, what do you actually begin as you think about the wandering in the wilderness? What's the first thing that you associate with that period? The spies are sent up, they come back with the unfavorable report, and then what? All right, they are, because they refuse to go up, then what are they sentenced to do? That's the sentence of the wandering in the wilderness. Now, as they wander in the wilderness, What are the things that you remember that belong in this period of the wandering? All right, the census was one of the things, but now what rebellion is this you're thinking about, Steve? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. All right, real good. Everybody remember the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? What's the thing you remember about the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram story? Yeah, that's what I remember about it too. There are other things, but that's the one that comes to my mind, the earth swallowing Korah, Dathan, and Abiram up and everything. And then the plague, what plague was that came? Remember what did the people say after the death of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram?
Oh, they've slain the people of God.
And so what did the Lord just let loose? Remember the plague? Aaron runs with his censer and interrupts the spreading of the plague. Remember that story? Okay, what else goes in this wandering? Okay. What else? Okay, the manna during all these years. Yeah, the sin of Moses and Aaron. Aren't there some deaths in here also? Death of Miriam. Death of Aaron. And then as they make their way on up in their final approach, what about Edom? They won't let them go through, will they? They have to go around Edom. And on the way, as they're traveling up there, what do they encounter? I just gave you a hint. Snakes. All right, the fiery serpents. And then they conquer the east side, and then the story of Balaam and the speeches of Moses. And where are those speeches recorded? Anyone know? Deuteronomy. Excellent. And so then when Moses dies, the children of Israel, what's the next thing? What did they do after Moses dies and Joshua takes over? They cross the Jordan. They get over across the Jordan, and there's just a little cluster of events that actually mark the end of this phase, the period of the wandering in the wilderness. What is this cluster of events? Do you remember? All right, that hadn't been circumcised during the 40 years. That's right. Excellent. And another thing, those are excellent. Another thing is, what about the manna? The manna stops, and what do the people start eating? The produce of the land itself, so that they swap the miraculous blessing of the manna for the providential blessing of the land, which God gave them as he promised the fathers. All right, so this brings us then to the next period. What is the next period called? This is after the wandering. What do we have? Invasion and the conquest. Now, in the invasion and the conquest, what are the phases of that invasion and conquest? All right, the central campaign, the southern campaign, northern campaign, and then that means they've conquered all the land. So then what? They divide the land up, and after they've divided the land up, what about the Transjordanic tribes? They go back home, and we have a couple of speeches of Joshua, and that brings this to a close, the invasion and conquest. So the next period then in Bible history is the Judges. Now, at some point, we're going to need to learn the Judges. Or do you already know the Judges? I heard these little laughs. Well, let me hear you say the Judges, all right? Well, I heard a chorus. I did. I heard a chorus there. That's really good. Now, that's great. Well, when did you do that? I am glad you did that, because the thing about it is a lot of people say, well, I don't see any sense in learning a list like that. Well, try to tell the story of the judges without knowing which one comes next. You know, you're just not going to have a very interesting class if you don't even remember which judge comes next. So you have to learn that in order to be able to tell that effectively. So you've done well on that, and I really appreciate that. All right, so that's the period of the judges. Now, the last two of those judges, who were they? That's right, Eli and Samuel. And in the days of Samuel, what request do the people make? They ask for a king. Now, what is this? What period is this going to bring us to? It's going to be the United Kingdom. All right, now then, let's name the kings that go in the United Kingdom. All right, that's great. So, as we study about these kings, of course, there are so many events about them that at this point we're not trying to break it down because there would be so many. But the thing to remember is that if it is about Saul, or if it is about David, or if it is about Solomon, then it belongs in what period? The United Kingdom. Okay? So that's the thing to remember, that in this box we call the United Kingdom belongs every event that happens in connection with Saul, or with David, or with Solomon. And so it begins actually before Saul becomes king. You know, like when the people ask for a king, and so this sets in motion circumstances that are going to result in a king in Israel, and then we're going to have the three of them that will rule over the whole land. And when you study about Saul and David, there it's very much a character study, the contrast between those two men. All right, now following the United Kingdom, we have what? All right, the Divided Kingdom. And in the Divided Kingdom, now I want to be sure we've got this. In the Divided Kingdom, what's the name of the kingdom in the north? Israel. Now, wasn't Israel the name of the entire kingdom? Until then. That's right. Yeah, until then. So do you see that? Now, I've studied with people enough to know that a lot of times they are confused on facts like that. So it's necessary to make sure you do understand that at one time Israel was the name of the whole kingdom up until the divided kingdom. And then after that, Israel is the name of that northern kingdom consisting of most of the tribes. And then the name of the southern one was what? All right. Now, the family that ruled over that southern one consistently was what family? David, right. And then in the north, the dynasty changed 9 times, which kind of makes a point. And so the divided kingdom. Now, how long did that divided kingdom last? 200 years. Good. 200 years. No, I'm just kidding you. But that is good, Andy. I was proud of you. That's good. No, but I really was just kidding you because I knew that you knew that. Good. That's good. Good. So when the kingdom divided, when the divided kingdom ended, which one of the kingdoms was taken away? Israel, the one in the north, was taken away. That left the one in the south, Judah. Now then, do you remember how many years Judah continued after Israel was taken away? 135 years longer. Now in that fact, there is one of the important facts of this period, and that is, why was it that the northern one went into captivity so much earlier than the southern one? What was the principal difference between the two? The idolatry. The idolatry that the northern kingdom practiced from the beginning. Now, did the southern kingdom practice idolatry? Yeah, they did. But what was the difference? Occasionally what? They repented. That's right. Occasionally you had a king that would pull them back. They would renew their covenant with God. That's really good. Facts like that that you have learned will stand you in good in all the other Bible study that you do. And those are some of the major lessons that you learn from the study of the period as a whole. And then there are innumerable other lessons that you learn during the study of the time, but that's one of the great lessons that you learn during that period. And so this period following the end of the divided kingdom, what is it called? Judah alone. Now in this time period of Judah alone, what do you use to remember any of the events that occur during the period of Judah alone? Well, now that would be in the return. Remember? That'd be in the return. What happens eventually to Judah alone? It's going to go into captivity. And before then, you've got the reigns of Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, so a few of the kings of Judah that reigned then until the kingdom is taken away into captivity. And so following Josiah, then you have Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim and Jeconiah and Zedekiah. Now again, at this point, I just mentioned that. I'm not emphasizing that you have to learn that right now. Eventually we will. But that just gives you an idea. Now have you heard of Hezekiah? You've heard of him. You've heard of Manasseh. What do you remember about Manasseh? Absolutely wicked. Just so wicked. And Amon, wicked, wicked, wicked. But he didn't get as long to practice as his daddy did. And so those are events. Now, another event that just kind of you might remember. Do you remember in the story of Josiah how they were really, really cleaning and renovating the temple and they discovered something? Do you remember? Anyone remember what they found? The law. That's right. They found the law. And that kind of added a lot of impetus to the revolution and the restoration that Josiah was working with and working on. So what empire was it that took Judah away into captivity? That's right. What empire was it that took Israel away into captivity? That's right. Now that's great. That's great. Now then, do you remember then that means that we have Assyria followed by Babylon, which means that you're already learning the sequence of empires, which is also necessary to understand Old Testament history. So does everybody have that now? The Assyrian Empire followed by the Babylonian Empire. Okay. And then as we go along, you know what the next one is? The next empire? The Medes and the Persians, or the Medo-Persian. And then the next one will be the Grecian or Alexandrian. And then the next one will be the Roman. All right, that's really, really good. See, you've already got that. That's really good. All right, so during the time of the, after the period of Judah alone, was the next period? Captivity. And so in the captivity we have the things that happen in connection with actually, do you remember that the captivity is one of those periods that overlaps Judah alone? See, Judah alone, Judah and Jerusalem have not quite fallen before the captivity starts. So the captivity begins. Do you recall who was among the first captives taken by the Babylonians? Daniel. And then the next prominent one that was taken away into captivity was a prophet, one of the prophets. Ezekiel. That's right, Ezekiel. And then the next thing was the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem. So you have phases of the captivity. The phase taking Daniel away in 605, and then the phase in which Ezekiel and also the king Jeconiah was taken away in 597, and then the city fell in 586. So, Babylon. Now, how long was this captivity to last? I hear 40. Do I hear 50? Do I hear 60? It was 70. 70 years from that 605 until the return. 606, 605 until the return in 536. So you've got 70 years of captivity. So at the end of the captivity, then what's the next period we go to? All right, we have the return from captivity. That's right. Now, in the return from captivity, how many phases or returns were there in the return? There were three. Now, the first one involved who or what? I think I heard his name. What was it? Zerubbabel. The only thing there is to remember how many bubs there are. Zerubbabel. Do you remember when that one was? Yeah, 536. 536, Zerubbabel. And then the second return was under Ezra, and that was what year? 458. Very good. 458. And then the third return, which wasn't a return in the sense of the first two, because you didn't have a group of people coming back to live. But it's typically referred to as a return, so we go ahead and do that too. Who was that one in the third return? And Nehemiah came back, and what was it he did? He rebuilt the walls. So in that first return, what did they want to build? The temple. And in the second return under Ezra, what was Ezra's emphasis? And to law and to restore the faithfulness of the people and so on, according to the law. And then we have already mentioned Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of the city. Now, what two prophets were associated with that first return? There, Haggai, and who's the other? Zechariah. Okay. Now then, if you were saying your books of the Old Testament, and you get through with Haggai and Zechariah, how many do you have left? One, Malachi. So at the end of the time of Nehemiah, toward the end of the time of the work that he did, we have the work of Malachi, likely fitting in that period when Nehemiah went back to Persia for a while. During that time, probably, is when Malachi did his work. And so then that's the last prophet in the Old Testament. So that brings us then to what period? The years of silence. And in the years of silence, how did you all work on that? How did you... Okay. All right, well, we're not going to say a whole lot about it either. But the way I like to do that is I like to use a visual. I find that in a lot of things like this, some kind of a visual image in your mind helps out. And in history, you have different strains, different currents, different threads of history that go together. And, you know, if you think about that, I believe you will see that's true, that you may have this nation where things are going on over here and a nation over here where things are going on. And then you know that sometimes those two strains come together and they may have war. So history has all these currents and everything. Well, the figure I like to use is of threads. So you think about like weaving a rug or weaving a garment or a piece of cloth or something. So as you weave a pattern, some of the threads are going to run through and they're going to be longer than others to help shape the pattern. Some of them will be short, you know, as you make your pattern. Everybody follow that? The image there, you can see that. All right, well, as you work on this pattern and you come to the close of the Old Testament, you're looking at one of the lines of history that's going on at that time. And so we'll just put it up here like this. So here's a thread, and that is Jewish history. And of course, you would expect that one to be there because this is a Bible story. It is about the Jews and things that happened to them. So that's what the Bible is chronicling the story of here. So that one you can say, yeah, all right. So we're going to be dealing with the Jewish history, what's been happening to the Jews. And then the second thing is to remember the empire that was in power at this time, at the close of the Old Testament, which Zerubbabel dealt with, and Ezra dealt with, and Nehemiah dealt with, that was the, we'll just say, the Medo-Persian, or for short, Persian, so that you've got the thread of Persian history. So you see, as the Jews and the Persians are dealing with one another, remember? See, so the Persian kings are the ones who let the Jews go back home. So you see the interplay that's going on between those two threads. All right, now, as time goes along, there's another thread that's going to come in, but now it doesn't go back and it doesn't run the whole route, because it is the thread that's going to replace the Persian thread. It's going to change colors. And you know what that one is, don't you? What thread would that be? The Grecian. All right, so we have Grecian history as the Grecian Empire replaces the Persian Empire. And then we're going to have another thread, which is to an extent going to replace this, but it's going to be a broader thread in a way. And what history is that going to be? That's right, Roman history. So if you can keep those in mind, it will give you a really good grasp of the forces that went on during those 400 years. And that will really help you out. Now see, you start out remembering Jewish history because that's pretty well a given. And then remember the empire that they were dealing with at the close of the Old Testament, which was, or the Old Testament period of Revelation, that was the Persian. Remember then that they were replaced by the Grecian, and then the Grecian was replaced by the Roman. Now then, doesn't that picture it in a logical way so that you can remember that? Those are the threads. And then all you have to do, like if you were going to break this one down, now how would you break Jewish history down? Well, you've got the returns, and then you've got the end of Malachi. Well, then you go into this period where it's the Jews living their land, subject to the conflicts that go on between the other forces that live in that area. And we won't go into that right now because that would involve a lot more than we would have time to go into now. But those are the threads that go together to make up the history of this period, so that as you fill in the details there, that would be what would constitute the history of this period. So around 400 years, a little over 400 years, that's how long this period lasts. Now following this period, what do we have? The life of Christ. And in the life of Christ, of course, we have all of those events that occur during and in association with him, starting out with the very first events that are mentioned in the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so you have the appearance of the angel to John, and then to, to Zacharias, and then to Mary and Joseph, and so on, and all those things. So that's the life of Christ. And then what follows? The early church, and then letters to the Christians. Well, I really am impressed with you. I think you have worked hard, and I think you have learned. And that's really good. Really good. Well, we're ready to begin that third cycle. And the thing about the third cycle is it begins real easy. Isn't that good? In fact, you already pretty well know the first several of that cycle. And this is one where you're going to need, it'd really help you if you had your Bible, where you could look. But if you don't need to look, then that's okay. But what about this first period? Now tell me again, what is the first period in this whole thing? Before the flood. Now what event does that start with? And what part does it end with? The generation. So if you're looking in your Bible, you'd start at the creation, which would be what chapter? That's one. And then the generations would be what? Five. So it's Genesis 1 through 5. And it happens that the first, that those five things that we name to sum up before the flood, they happen to be chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. See, name them again now. All right, everybody name those five things together, okay? All right, now do you see how that is? Chapter 1, and then chapter 2, Adam and Eve in the garden. Chapter 3, the first sin. Chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Chapter 5, generations. Now, this to me is where it gets really exciting, because now if somebody wanted to talk with you and ask you something about that serpent, that story about the serpent, and you know, these days there's no telling how they might bring it up. They might say, I heard something about it. Wasn't there a snake involved in sin? Wasn't the devil associated with a snake? There's no telling how many ways they might bring that up. But if they did bring it up, what would you know? Suppose they said, was the devil associated with a snake? What would you say? Yes. And then you go ahead and say, that was in connection with what? The first sin, which is recorded in what? Genesis, what chapter? 3. Because, yes, Genesis 1 through 5, but now you're also learning it'd be chapter 3. You wouldn't have to wonder where it is. You wouldn't have to say it's somewhere. You wouldn't have to say, I'll ask the preacher, or something like that. You know where it is. And these generations, the generations of Adam. Adam, Seth, Enos, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. Fast forward. The generations. Fast forward us. Now we're down to the flood. Now again, we're going to have five chapters. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so, what are the things that these chapters would be? 6 would be what? Warning and preparation. The beginning of the flood. End of the flood. Events immediately after the flood. The generation. Now, if you'll remember, you can think about it. The warning and preparation for the flood. The beginning of the flood, the end of the flood, the events immediately after the flood. Now, those events immediately after the flood involve God's giving them meat for food, and in telling them they may kill an animal and eat it, he warns them not to eat with it, not to eat the what? That's right, not to eat the blood. And another thing he warns them, though you may kill animals freely to eat them, what are you not to kill freely? Man. And if somebody does, then what's to be done with them? Now see, all of that is the events immediately after the flood, plus the covenant. What kind of a covenant was it that God made? The rainbow covenant. So if somebody wanted to ask you about capital punishment, you know, you might very well get into a discussion about capital punishment. Well, where would you remember, where would be the earliest place in the Bible where you would go to read anything about capital punishment, meaning execution for crimes and everything? Where would you go? It'd be chapter 9. Chapter 9. And what about somebody bringing up the thing about the rainbow? Where did that originate? Or if your kids ask you something about the rainbow, what chapter would the rainbow be in? 9. Or if you're now I want to explain, if somebody decides to be a vegetarian for health reasons, I don't care. If anybody sets in to be a vegetarian as if you are a sinner if you eat any meat, they are wrong. Now, where would I go in the Bible to prove that? Genesis 9, because that's where God specifically gave meat to eat as the green herb. So he puts it on exactly the same level as eating vegetables. So, you see, in connection with this, well, now, what about if somebody wanted to ask about the condition of the world before the flood, the wickedness and everything before the flood began? Now, this is not in the period before the flood. We're looking at the events that are immediately before the flood. So that would be the warning and preparation. What chapter would that be? 6 describes the terrible wickedness that was going on in the world at the time that the flood did come, right? All right, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the next chapter is what? And so that's going to be the next period, which is scattering of the people. So you can remember the scattering of the people, that's chapter 11. And learning it the way you have learned it, if you can say, now the first period is 1 through 5, the second period is 6 through 10, then the third period has got to be 11. Got to be 11. Now once you get 11 done, then you've got 12 through 50. And what is that about? That's about the patriarchs. Now at that point, I could say, can you give me an outline of Genesis? And you could say, yes, I can. And so what would the outline be? Well, generally it would be 1 through 11 and 12 through 50. But then you break it down further and you can say in the 1 through 11, we have what? 3 periods set forth. And what would the chapter breakdown be on that? 1 through 5, 6 through 10, and 11. And then we have the patriarchs. All right, so Wednesday night, we're going to work on that a little bit more, and we're going to take our time, and we're going to look at the patriarchs. Now, be sure that you bring your Bible with you Wednesday night, because I want you to do some looking for yourselves and see where things are in connection with the patriarchs. So when we finish, we should be able to do this. By the time we finish Wednesday night, you will be in a position to find almost anything you need to find within a few chapters. You'll be able to find that in the book of Genesis. Almost anything that you need to find, you'll be able to get within a few chapters of it. It's kind of heady to be thinking, you mean I'm going to know the outline of the whole book of Genesis? Yeah. And it was painless, wasn't it? Yeah, it was painless. Okay, well, we'll stop now for this morning. Thank you.